Blog Talk Radio.
To the people and the Gentiles, Tommy Hart, the one the authorized version ascribes the name Lord God is Real, appears among us with great news. A former preacher of the church and author of the Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God, Lord God would like to share what he has discovered during what is now a 39-year study of the Authorized Version Bible, also known as the King James Bible, coming from the Vatican. He comes to show Bible truths that have been hidden throughout Bible content. Lord God is Real decrypts all things kept silent and in secret inside the pages of the ABB, aka the KJV, all with a level-headed, easy-to-follow analysis unlike any other. His Excellency logically restructures the AVB's confusing text and separates the subject matter into two categories, truth and fiction. He also defines with clarity what is meant by the terms Lord, in all caps, Christ, God, many other titles, and who claims them now in this day. His Majesty concludes, the Authorized Version Bible, written in the year 1611, is primarily a law book, a history book, a legal document, and the first law between the Pope of Rome, the papacy, and the Gentiles. In other words, those who are classified as white people. Knowing the AVB, written during the conquest of Africa, Lord God exposes the many laws of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelations, which include the law of Passover, the law of God, and the law of the curse carried out on African black people worldwide. It is established the Vatican is a governmental body institution hiding in plain view under the cloak of religion. Lord God is here because the Vatican called for him in the pages of the AVB. So without further ado, it is with great enthusiasm I bring before you the host of the show. Please join me in a warm round of applause, the magnificent Lord God is Real.
Commandment to build the temple of the Lord. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, fear God and keep his commandments. Obviously, that's a commandment the people are obligated to carry out. Fear God, keep his commandments. We know that Tommy L. Hart is the God which the AVB, Authorized Version Bible, exalts, promotes, upholds, and speaks so much about. Acts 10:8 calls Tommy L. Hart the great power of having the designation of God. Hebrews 3:4 says, he who built all things is God. Tommy L. Hart has built all things. All things can be seen and heard in Lawmaster's archives. Conclusion coming from all things is this. Tommy L. Hart is God. God is known. Psalm 96:7 says, give to the Lord. I remind you that the law calls for the temple of the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, to be built. It is to be built in Augusta, Georgia, USA. If the people obey the law, the temple of the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, will be built, and it will be built in a timely manner. According to the law, the book of the law, Psalm 78:7, the people have the duty of not forgetting the works of God, Tommy L. Hart, and keeping Lord God and keeping Lord Hart's commandments. I say to all the people, servants and all, come to me now. Get with me now. Obey the law now and always, and let us build the Lord Tommy L. Hart's temple, a requirement of the law, in Augusta, Georgia, United States of America. Yes, let us build my temple in Augusta, Georgia. Psalm 100, verse 1 and 3 says, serve the Lord Tommy L. Hart with gladness. Know ye that the Lord, Tommy L. Hart, he is God. Build the temple of the Lord your God, Tommy L. Hart, in Augusta, Georgia, USA. I, the Lord Tommy L. Hart, have spoken on Mary, the profligate mother of James, John, and Jesus. In this episode, I will speak on Jesus. But first, these things. Take a look at Psalm 150, verse 1 and 2. Matter of fact, the whole of Psalm 150. Praise ye the Lord, commandment. Praise ye the Lord, Tommy L. Hart. Praise God, Tommy L. Hart, in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. The mighty acts here speaks of the works of the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. The works of the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, can be seen and heard on Blog Talk Radio, the program Lawmaster. Praise him, the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, Tommy L. Hart. Praise ye the Lord, Tommy L. Hart. Let me stop here and go to another psalm here, which is Psalm 9, I believe. Psalm 9, verse 10. Listen, it says this, speaking of the people. Well, it speaks of the people and the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. It says, to me, the law says to me here, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord Tommy L. Hart, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord Tommy L. Hart. So, that's why it is important. It is important for you to know the name of God. You would not know it if I had not told you. And of course, I've given the evidence of my godliness. So, back here, Psalm 149, verse 1, a part of it. Praise ye the Lord, Tommy L. Hart. Sing to the Lord, Tommy L. Hart, a new song. Psalm 148. Praise ye the Lord, Tommy L. Hart. Praise ye the Lord, Tommy L. Hart, from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Let's go to verse 11. Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. What is the name of the Lord? The name of the Lord is Tommy L. Hart. For his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. Psalm 147. Praise ye the Lord, Tommy L. Hart. For it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is calmly. Verse 5, great is our Lord, Tommy L. Hart, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Psalm 146, praise ye the Lord, Tommy L. Hart. Praise the Lord, Tommy L. Hart, O my soul. Verse 3, people, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. And just let me interject this. Jesus referred to himself as the son of man. Let me read that statement again. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. Are you listening to the word coming from the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart? Verse 10, the Lord, Tommy L. Hart, shall reign forever. Psalm 145, I will extol thee, the Lord is speaking, my God, O King. Verse 3, great is the Lord, Tommy L. Hart, and greatly to be praised. One generation shall praise thy works, the law says to me here in verse 4, to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. These words are spoken to me. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I, the law, that is, will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. Psalm 144, the law says, speaking of God, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people unto me. Psalm 143, the law speaking to the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, saying, hear my prayer, O Lord, Tommy L. Hart. The law can cite my name now, because I have made my name known. Hear my prayer, O Lord, Tommy L. Hart. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. Psalm 142, the law speaking to the Lord, Tommy L. Hart. I cried unto the Lord with my voice to the Lord, Tommy L. Hart, did I make my supplication. A happy law. The law has one thing that it has asked for. It has asked for my name. I have given it my name, as I have given to the people my name. The law, Psalm 141, speaking to the Lord, Tommy L. Hart, says, Lord, Tommy L. Hart, I cry to me, give ear to my voice when I cry to thee. Psalm 140, verse 1, the law speaking to the Lord, Tommy L. Hart, saying, deliver me, O Lord, Tommy L. Hart, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man. Psalm 139, verse 1, the law still speaking, O Lord, Tommy L. Hart, thou hast searched me and know me. You who follow the program and have been following my program for some time now, you know that I have given the law. I have made known the law called Moses to the people. Psalm 138, verse 1. The law still speaking to the Lord God, Tommy O'Hart. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise to thee. I thought that was needful. Some people may have been wondering, am I this Lord in the Psalms that I have just read from? I am that Lord. O Lord, Tommy O'Hart, thou hast searched me and known me. I have searched the book of the law. I have searched the law, and I have found the law, and I know the law. And that's what the Lord is saying to me. You search me, and you know me. That's the will of the law, that I know the law. The will of the law. And that's the will of the law for you. That's why I have given it several times on this broadcast. I've read to you the law called Moses. I also refer to the same law as the people's law. So, before getting into the program now, the main message, everything here is main. Everything that I speak on is important. Everything. Understand that. Everything. But you know, sometimes we say, now the main, but everything I speak about is of great importance and needful to know. Needed knowledge. The knowledge coming from the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. Okay, I may have lost my place here, but let's get on. So yes, this is what I was about to say. Remember, give to the Lord. And remember the statement that I read. Think about it, consider it, think on it, and obey it. Put your trust in the Lord, Tommy O'Hart. They that know thy name, they that know the name of God, will place their trust in God, put their trust in God. That's a promise given me that I read. Psalm 9:10. They that know thy name will put their trust in thee. You know the name of the Lord God. You know his name is Tommy O'Hart. Where is your trust? You should put, according to the law, you should put your trust in the Lord God, Tommy O'Hart. You should not put your trust in the Son of Man. The character Jesus referred to himself, itself, as the Son of Man. Whom do you say, I, the Son of Man, am? Let me turn to that and read that. Matthew 16. Okay. Yes, here in Matthew 16, verse 13, it says, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Your ministers teach that that's speaking of Jesus, that Jesus, you know, these are words coming from him. So the character Jesus has called himself the Son of Man. Put not your trust in the Son of Man. That's Bible. Put your trust in the living God, Tommy L. Hart. That's Bible. And remember the building of the temple. Remember, give to the Lord, Tommy L. Hart. That is Bible. You are never told in the Bible to give to a minister, give to the church, give to the Christian church. You are never told it. If you think you're told that in the Bible, you're mistaken. Whose word does the Bible say is right? The Lord Tommy O'Hart's word or your minister's word? Your rabbi's word? The word coming from the clergy? The papacy's words? The Pope's word? Whose word does the Bible say is right? The Bible say the word coming from the Lord God is right. That's Bible. So when there is a conflict between what God says and what men say, irregardless of who they are, the Bible says God's word is right. That's Bible. It just told you don't put your trust in the Son of Man. Every human being is the son of somebody, the son of some man. That is or has been. Put not your trust in the Son of Man. Put your trust in the Lord, Tommy O'Hart. Give to the Lord, Tommy O'Hart. And again, let us build the temple. Be obedient to the law in all that the law speaks and commands you on. Be obedient to the law. I shouldn't need to dwell on that. The Bible speaks clearly, saying when the Lord comes, he will tell you all things. I have told you all things. I am the only one who has told you all things. All things identify God. The conclusion coming from all things in the Bible is Tommy L. Hart. This man, Tommy L. Hart, is the great power of, and of means having the designation of, having the name of. This man, Tommy L. Hart, is the great power of God. This man, Tommy L. Hart, is the great power having the designation, having the name of God. Are you listening to the word coming from the Lord your God, Tommy L. Hart? The Bible says repeatedly. The book of the law says repeatedly, hear the word of, meaning coming from, the Lord, Tommy L. Hart. Hear the word coming from the Lord. Who is the Lord? The Lord is Tommy L. Hart. Hear the word coming from the Lord, Tommy L. Hart. That's a theme throughout the Bible, a theme which runs throughout the Bible, the Authorized Version Bible. Okay, so. Be obedient to the commandment that has come from God with regard to all of those 22 years of age and older, sending to the Lord your God a check or money order in the amount of 30 U.S. dollars each month, payable to the Lord your God, Tommy L. Hart, or payable to the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. And that check or money order, the Lord should receive it by the 15th of every month. The address to send that check or money order to is the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, Post Office Box 983, Hepzibah, Georgia, H-E-P-Z-I-B-A-H, Georgia. And that's the United States of America, of course. Zip code 30815. Post Office Box 983, Hepzibah, Georgia, 30815. That's one thing. The Bible says what? Fear God and keep his commandments. And the law tells you what? Give to the Lord. The law says to the people, build the temple of the Lord your God. I've told you where I want the temple built. I want the temple built in Augusta, Georgia, United States of America. Get with me. Get with me. Come to me. Get with me now, come to me now, obey the law now and always, and let us build the Lord Tommy L. Hart's temple, a requirement of the law, in Augusta, Georgia, United States of America. Yes, let us build my temple in Augusta, Georgia. Now, let's get to the revelation of Jesus Christ. So we come to Jesus, and we ask the question, where do we begin? But I say to you, haven't we already begun to speak, to learn about Jesus? I say yes. Listen. So we come to Jesus. We know already that Jesus is not the Son spoken of in Isaiah 7:14. I will turn to it. You may turn to it as well. Isaiah 7:14. Says this, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. That's not talking about Jesus. Yes, the Christian church, the Christian clergy tells you that's speaking about Jesus. But I've shown you how that is not speaking about Jesus. It's not even speaking about Mary, the profligate mother of Jesus. Mary is not the virgin spoken of, and Jesus is not the son spoken of. Okay? And all of that is in the archives, Law Master's archives. So, we come to Jesus knowing already that Jesus is not the son spoken of in Isaiah 7:14. And we come to Jesus knowing already that Jesus was not born of a virgin. Mary, his mother, played the harlot. We come to Jesus knowing already that the record shows Jesus' father to be Joseph, the son of Heli. We come to Jesus knowing already that Jesus was not a son of David through Solomon, but through Nathan. That is given in Luke 3, verses 23 through 32. We come to Jesus knowing already that the genealogy shown in Matthew chapter 1 is not that of the father of Jesus. And it is not that of Jesus' mother. Okay. So, we come here to Jesus knowing some vital points already about Jesus. That his father was a man by the name of Eli. I'm sorry, his father was a man whose name was Joseph, who was the son of Heli. You may call it Heli. Either way is H-E-L-I. We come to Jesus knowing some things already about him. Now, the accusation. Let me listen to these things. Because the question is asked in John 18:29, what accusation bring ye against this man? And then the question is there in the IR, in IR 1, chapter 27, verse 22, which asks, what shall I do then with Jesus? So in our coming to Jesus, what are we looking for? I say, let the IR itself be our guide. Do you remember what IR refers to? IR, remember, is a reference to it's the IR report. It's the report concerning an investigation, which, of course, led to accusations and a trial, etc. And, of course, that is already in Lawmaster's archives. So, these questions will be answered, if not in this episode, later on, another episode. What accusation bring ye against this man? What shall I do then with Jesus? I say, let the IR itself be our guide. What questions or other questions does the IR ask? I present to you several questions coming from the IR. One, Luke 23:22. What has he done? What has Jesus done? So we must look for evil which the IR concludes Jesus has done. Will we find some? We will find out. Look for some evil, and if we find some, I will point it out. Luke 5:21. Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? That has come up in the IR. The IR suggests someone has spoken blasphemy or is going about speaking blasphemies. Who is it? We must look to see if Jesus has spoken blasphemies, and if so, point them out. Mark 1:27, what new doctrine is this? That's another question found in the IR. If the IR points out a new doctrine, I must point it out and point out the giver of the new doctrine. 4, Matthew 22:42, the question, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Okay, the IR speaks of Jesus as being called Christ, Jesus, who is also called Christ. His name was not Christ. Christ is an alias, you can see, that Jesus used and applied to himself. All right? What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? We already know that Jesus was the son of Joseph, who was the son of Eli. 5, John 18:29, looks like here. Ask, what accusation bring ye against this man? Let me check that out right quick. John 18:29. The question is asked, what accusation bring ye against this man? In the IR, is Jesus accused of any wrongdoing? If so, what? Jesus, listen. Jesus, the character himself, says in IR 4, chapter 18, verse 23, he says, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. If Jesus has spoken evil, it is my duty to bear witness of the evil. Okay? So let's begin with the question. IR 3, chapter 23, verse 22. What evil has Jesus done? Or with respect to IR 4, chapter 18, 23, what evil has Jesus spoken? In IR 1, chapter 5, 22, Jesus in his doctrine said, whosoever shall say, thy fool, listen carefully, shall be in danger of hell fire. Now let's go to IR 3, chapter 12, verse 20, where Jesus in his doctrine says, but God said to him, thou fool. Do these two words, thou fool, sound familiar? Yes, you heard them just moments before. when the two statements are put together, they read as follows. Whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. But God said to him, thou fool. Those two statements are intended to be read together. The two statements constitute a complete statement. The complete statement constitutes a curse. With that statement, Jesus cursed God. Now, the definition of curse is the expression of a wish that misfortune, evil, doom, etc., befall a person, group, etc. The curse is clear, it is unmistakable, and easy to understand. The curse concerning God is a serious, it's a serious offense. The IRA shows clearly that Jesus in his doctrine cursed God. He wished evil upon God. What evil? That he would burn in hell. Or that, as he said, shall be in danger of hell fire. Shall be subject to hell fire. A curse. The curse is demonstrative of a disrespect for God. The offense of the curse is blasphemous. Remember, who is this that speaks blasphemies? To blaspheme is to speak impiously or irreverently of God or sacred things. Keep that in mind. To speak evil of, still the definition of blaspheme, as two, to speak evil of, and three, to show contempt or disrespect for God. Definitions for blaspheme. To show contempt or disrespect for God, a divine being, or sacred things, especially in speech. Jesus showed disrespect for God in speaking evil of him and saying that, and saying what he said in the curse. Okay? Exodus 22:28 says, thou shalt not revile the gods, nor curse the ruler of thy people. Surely God in the Bible story is the Israelites' God, and he is their ruler. Jesus in the curse or malediction, as he uttered, Jesus in the curse he uttered, has reviled God. He has spoken abusively of God. Jesus has broken the Exodus 22:28 commandment. Let me turn to that and let's read it. Exodus 22:28. Listen, thou shalt not revile God, nor curse the ruler of thy people. That's a commandment. Consider the statement in John 18:30. It says, if he, Jesus, were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up to thee. Question, What is a malefactor? Some people may pronounce it malefactor. Okay? It depends on what dictionary I looked in. Malefactor, malefactor. Answer. A malefactor is a person who violates the law. Jesus has violated the law of Exodus 22:28. Let me turn to John. Let's see here. Yes, John chapter 18, verse 30 says this. If he, speaking of Jesus, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up to thee. Question. Okay, I read that. What is a malefactor? Answer, a malefactor is a person who violates the law. Jesus has violated the law of Exodus 22:28. So, by definition, Jesus is a malefactor. He has committed a malefaction, a malefaction. A malefaction is an evil deed, a crime, a wrongdoing. A malefactor is a person who does harm or evil, especially to another person. Jesus did the harm of speaking abusively about God and speaking evilly of God. Again, by definition, Jesus is a malefactor. Another definition given for malefactor is criminal. A criminal is one who has violated a law or some laws. Jesus has violated the law of Exodus 22:28. Again, by definition, Jesus is a malefactor, as pointed out in John 18, verse 30, which I read. If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up to thee. Question, what is clear at this point? Answer, at this point, it is clear that Jesus, the son of Mary, the profligate, is a malefactor. He has done evil. He has spoken evil. He has committed the crime of cursing God. Sin is the breaking of a law. Jesus broke the law of Exodus 22:28. It is clear that Jesus has sinned. Now you should keep all of this in mind. You should be taking notes. You should be studying and listening to the archives. You should be learning. You should be growing in the knowledge coming from the Lord your God, Tommy L. Hart. I was about to say, keep in mind, Jesus is not the Son spoken of in Isaiah 7:14. Jesus was not born of a virgin mother, Mary. I have shown clearly, played the harlot, okay? Mary, the mother of Jesus, played the harlot. Next. Go to. That's an accusation. Jesus cursed God. Now, and that constitutes blasphemy. Curse God is a commission of blasphemy. Right. Now, some exhibits. I have here four exhibits. Now, the curse is one exhibit, I have four other exhibits here. And the first one, the first of these, I call it Exhibit A. It comes from Matthew 5, verses 21 through 22. Or we could call it IR 1. IR 1, chapter 5, verses 21 through 22. I'm turning to verses 21 through 22. Let's read. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment." But I say unto you, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. When we go back and look at the law, we can do that now. Exodus 20. Exodus chapter 20, verse 13 simply says, "Thou shalt not kill." What did Jesus say? Jesus said, "You have heard about them of old time, thou shalt not kill." Probably didn't say it exactly. "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment." Isn't that an addition to what is written? And he said, it's like that commandment is outdated. That commandment no longer stands. When you look at the mind of Jesus, getting to his mind from the words that are given, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old times, thou shalt not kill, whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council." That's an addition. One of the rules is, do not add to the word of God. Jesus added to the word of God. Now let's look at another one. And don't forget that, the tone. You can just about feel or hear the tone. "It was said by them of old time." Who said thou shalt not kill in Exodus 20, verse 13? God said that. God said that. And of course, Moses later on reiterates Deuteronomy 5, 17. Moses reiterates it. Moses said it. So God said it to Moses. Moses said it to the people, "Thou shalt not kill." Jesus comes along and says, "But I say unto you." Okay, in other words, forget what them of old time. He didn't even call their names. He didn't even say God, the Lord. He didn't even say Moses. Okay? Didn't give them the credit. Just said them of old time, as though a new time has come. And that's what he suggested, because he says, "But I say unto you." The "but I say unto you" statements, okay? In addition to adding to what was said originally. That's Exhibit 1. Or I have it written here, Exhibit A1. Exhibit A2, Matthew 5, 27. I have here through 30. Let me read. "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." another attack. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing. He is attacking the word of God. He is attacking the word of Moses. Because God first said to Moses, and then Moses said to the people, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus is attacking God and his word, and he's attacking Moses, okay? Attacking God, attacking the word of God, attacking the messenger, if you will, of God. The instrument of God. Jesus is at war with God. Okay. So I have references here, Exodus 20, verse 14, and Deuteronomy 5, 18, again, for that statement coming from Jesus, Matthew 5, 27 through 30. He's attacking God, God's word, and the agent of God to the people. He is at war with God. And look how severe this doctrine is. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. Christians say they follow Jesus. When the last time you heard somebody say, my eye offended me and so I plucked it out? They don't do that. So the Christians pick and choose what they're going to do. Whether they're Catholic or Protestant or whatever, they pick and choose. That's not good, is it? That's not good. That's deceiving. That's deceiving. Because if you say you follow Jesus, the implication is you obey him. You obey his word. The application is you obey all that he says do. And you do not do the things he says don't do. Again, Jesus, and this is not in my outline here, Jesus made the statement, something to this effect, that whosoever does not love his mother, father, brother, sister, you know, whosoever loves mother, father, brother, sister, something to that effect, more than him cannot be his disciple. When the last time? Now, people say things that they don't mean. Okay? I won't get into this. It's not in my outline. Let me stick with the outline. Now, that's Exhibit A1, Exhibit A2, but I still speak to you statements along with them. Exhibit A3, Matthew 5, 31 through 32, says this: it has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. Deuteronomy 24:1 says this: when a man has taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. Listen, and when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hates her and write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and sendeth her out of his house, or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife. After that she is defiled, for that is abomination before the Lord. Jesus said something. Let me read on what he said. First 31 again. It has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. He says, but I say unto you, Jesus is laying down his law. Now, understand this. He has no authority at all to do it. He has no authority, no God-given authority, no man-given authority to do what he's saying, to teach against that which is that the government already established, the government of God, the law of God. Yes, he goes on to say, but I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. That's entirely different than what Moses said in Deuteronomy 24, citation I read. As I said, Jesus, in the so-called Sermon on the Mount, is attacking God. He's waging war against God, against Moses, against the Word of God, against the Word of Moses. He is waging war against authority. He is against God. He is against Moses. He is against the Word of God. He is against the Word of Moses, the servant of God. These statements are blasphemous statements. And remember, Jesus has no God-given authority to do what he's doing. He has no man-given authority to do what he's doing. This is Jesus doing what he's doing all on his own. They asked him the question at the trial, who gave you authority to do what you're doing? He gave a smart answer and said he would not tell them. Because, as I said, he had no God-given authority and he had no man-given authority to do what he did and to say the things he said. No authority. It is clear in these statements. Let me read the next one. Exhibit A4, Matthew 5:38-39 says this: ye have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say, and you know where that is. That's in the book of the law. You know that. Some of you do. Not everyone. Okay. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil. In the book of the law, you read, put away the evil that is among you. Do away with the evil. Depart from evil. That's the law. Jesus said, but I say unto you, that you resist not evil. He was doing evil right then in his speech. He was speaking evilly of God, Moses, the Word of God, Moses' Word. But he cites what's in the book of the law. And then he says, but I say unto you. He's dishing out, doling out his law without authority. Without authority. Please keep that in mind. And as I close, keep in mind, Jesus, as I've shown earlier in previous broadcasts, Jesus is not the Son spoken of in Isaiah 7:14. Jesus was not born of a virgin mother. Jesus' father, the report shows to be Joseph, who was the son of Heli. Okay? keep those things in mind. Study my archives. The archives are there for you. There for you. Study the archives. I showed you the curse coming from the mouth of Jesus. And I've given you these four exhibits coming also from Matthew chapter 5, the curse, and the four exhibits are all blasphemous statements. We haven't finished with Jesus yet. Hopefully, next time, I'll continue with the revelation of Jesus. But you know some things concerning Jesus already. As I said, do you know that he is not the Son spoken of in Isaiah 7:14? You know that he's not born. He's not born of a virgin mother. You know that his mother Mary was a prophetic person. You know that his father, the IR, chose to be Joseph, the son of Heli. And now you know that Jesus cursed God. And you know that he speaks blasphemous things against God, against the word of God, the word that's come from God, and against Moses and the word of Moses. Blasphemous things. We'll continue with this. So, study the archives. Send in your check or money order in the amount of $30 to the Lord your God, Tommy L. Hart. And some of you may need to catch up. Some of you may need to catch up. This is to be a monthly thing. The commandment is clear. Every month. Each month. And the temple of the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, must be built. It is a requirement of the law. This requirement does not come from me. It comes from the law. It is the law. Just as it says, give to the Lord. That's the law. That's the law, people. And the law says, fear God and keep his commandments. The character Jesus showed no fear of God, and he did not keep God's commandments. As I said, he waged war against God. If you are following Jesus, or any of your people are following Jesus, you and they are following one, a fictitious character, and two, you're following a fictitious, unrighteous, sinful, willfully sinful character. Keep that in mind. And as I said, don't forget, let's build a temple. Come to me now. Get with me now. Obey the word now. Obey the law now. Don't be rebellious. Don't be rebellious. And again, I remind you, are you writing your congresspeople, your senators, your representatives, your president, your king, your queen? Are you writing those in authority, local level, federal level, national level, international level? Are you letting people know the word that has come from the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart? Are you telling them about the Lord your God and their God, Tommy L. Hart? Walking in the law. Walking in obedience. That's what it's about, people. Walking in obedience to the law. The law is eternal. and do not forget this. Your preacher has no God-given authority. Your preacher has no authority. The Gentile governments let Christianity continue. But Christianity is an evil outfit. It deceives the people. It teaches lies. Check Lawmaster's archives. Get the details. Get all the details. You've been commanded to depart from Christianity. Depart from religion. And what? Turn to the Lord your God, Tommy, your heart, and follow him and obey him. Fear God, the Lord, Tommy, your heart, and keep his commandments. Join me the next time. Be on the lookout.